Blaues Rauschen. In episode 34, Tim Löde meets composer Robert Lippock alongside sound performer Hye Young Sin. They discuss how physical materials, from the delicate resonance of glass to discarded everyday objects and trash, can be transformed into striking sonic experiences. The conversation moves through the historical relationship between architecture and acoustics, as well as the fragile balance between order and chaos. Both guests will present new works at the Blaues Rauschen Festival. With his project Material, Robert Lippock reflects on fluid societies and architectural superstructures, while Hye Young Sin experiments with fundamental physical properties in her upcoming work Housewarming No. 2, where a digital electronic network generates and produces air currents. Robert Lippock is a visual artist and avant-garde pioneer based in Berlin, known for his work with the influential post-rock band To Rococo Rot and his solo releases on labels such as Rasta Noton. He moves effortlessly between club music, performance and visual art installation. His work is shaped by a deep fascination with architectural space, granular synthesis and the tension between organic and digital sound worlds. Hye Young Sin is a South Korean performer based in Berlin whose practice is rooted in experimentation, mechanical movement and kinetic objects. Her work emerges from close observations of everyday environments, transforming tangible objects and scientific concepts into poetic sound installations and live performances.
Hi Robert, it's great to have you join us for this podcast episode, where we will be discussing the acoustic capabilities of haptic elements and objects. So in your installations, you often transform physical materials into sound. So is there a material whose voice has surprised you the most over the years?
Oh, it's not one material. It's a variety, or is the approach I have on material. I work a lot with glass, for example. This is one of the materials I'm relating often in different installations. I like the softness and the hardness of it. You can shape it as you want when you work with a glass workshop. But when it's like, when you have, let's say, a bottle or a window, you have these like very precise reflections and resonances.
How did you come up with the idea to use this glass? Is there like a story behind, or how did it happen?
For this particular piece for Kunsthalle Baden-Baden, I was asked to do a work about the novel The Depossessed by Ursula Le Guin. And I was reading the novel, and the novel has like a feminist sci-fi story set on two planets. One is the main planet, the other one is the moon. And there was a revolution, and the revolution failed, and all the anarchists and the revolutionaries are on the moon, and they are creating a kind of anarchist society. And I was trying to understand how this utopy, part of it is also dystopy, how this could be transformed into the Baden-Baden world, where richness and capitalism is like everywhere. And I was using glass because when you enter the room in the exhibition space, you could see like these different glass shapes. And for me, it was a representation of like that societies are fluid and like that there's a constant exchange. And I was using the glass bulbs, yeah, as a metaphor for that.
So how does the audience and the format in these different venues change the way you perform or present your music and your work?
Sometimes it's just a question of the context. I had a live set for quite a long time, and I was playing this in like a gallery space situations, and people were like perceiving it as art. And then I was playing the same set in Berghain, in a Rasta No Tone label night, and obviously everybody was sure that it's dance music, which it can be seen as dance music. And so it was, people dance to it. So sometimes it's just, it's not a question of the material itself, but of the context the material is put in. For me, the audience is often very, very important. On my life sets differ quite a lot from each other, and I'm always trying to find out what is the vibe with the people.
Actually, another question we had is, what is your relationship between architecture and sound, or where do you see the relationship?
I mean, the relationship between architecture and music and sound is, of course, like endless. In Baroque and Romantic and Gothic times, they were shaping the churches due to acoustic reasons. They wanted to generate a certain acoustic to make the speeches and the sound more rich, more transcendent. There's a relatively new part of science, which is called acoustic ecology. And they're like scanning through ancient temples and caves and understanding what acoustics played, what role it played in ancient societies. And they found that often the paintings in the in cages from Stone Age times, they are set where the acoustic amplifies certain frequencies. So we don't know, but rituals or speeches got amplified in different ways and sounded more magic, or made the magic happen. So often in history, acoustic was used deliberately or was shaped deliberately in buildings. Shortly say something about the performance there.
Ah, yeah, this would be also nice. Yeah. Do you already have plans?
I was reading this book about Supergroup, which is an Italian architectural group, and they had the idea of superstructures. They built like superstructures over mountains and over bridges. And I was asking myself what superstructures are, and superstructures are structures which are used in shipbuilding and bridges. They are like the fundamental structures to hold everything else. So I saw my melodies, my rhythms as like superstructures for other things. And I thought my superstructures could be tracks itself. So I started to put a record together, which was called Red Superstructure. When Blaues Rauschen asked me, I was approaching this this concert format because it's relatively new, and it's new every time I play it.
Hello here. Thank you very much for taking part in this podcast episode. And I would like to start right off with my first thought. Your work has also a very playful quality. So it's about hands-on experience and openness for experimentation. So where does a new piece typically begin for you? And kind of what inspires your creative process?
Each work begins differently, really differently. For example, for the housewarming series, which I'm going to present in Blaues Rauschen Festival, I've been interested in a greenhouse for a long time. Then gradually began exploring how to translate it into a sonic context. Then I came up with its ventilation system, which I reimagined in connection with wind instruments such as harmonica, melodica, and flute to generate some sound. But for my performance Trashes, the starting point was somehow more personal. After graduating my art university, I had to move out my studio. Then there were some people and who helped me. And one of them asked me, "Hey, why are you paying so much money to transport all this shitty stuff?" I left very hard at the moment, because those were not the treasure, but the material I've been collecting for a long time. So I realized how differently people assign their value to objects. So I thought, okay, why don't I work with actual trash? So that was the beginning part of the whole project.
In your installations, you use many like objects, small objects. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and when you choose these objects, you said, is it also like the acoustic quality that interests you, or is it always like, does it always have a story? Is there always a story in the background?
It's always both for me. That's a very important point for me. I mean, sometimes I'm drawn to the acoustic qualities of an object, but then I really consider its context, how it's used or what it represents and how it relates to the work. So the sound and its context are inseparable for me.
Sometimes when I look at the installations that you do, I also see like a big kind of, I don't know, like a machine or like an orchestra, and you are inside of it. So one question that came to my mind, like, is when your installations often use motors and manual movements to generate sound. So do you perceive these machines as like individual performers, you know, like almost performers that are in an orchestra?
It also depends on the work, because I don't approach this with a fixed perspective. For the performance trashes, I really treat them as a collaborator, really. So they really take the role of a performer. But in my other installations and other performances, the role of machines, they are different. I see myself more as a facilitator or an operator. So someone who sets conditions and lets things happen.
And so actually one of the things that I like the most about your work is so that you use the direct unprocessed sound of the objects, or you use basic elements, you know, like air currents, and you don't bury the sound with digital effects that many artists are doing right now. So how did you came to this artistic decision?
Regarding digital effects, I'm not that much drawn to digital effects. They don't really spark my curiosity for now.
I actually also wanted to talk with you about like order and chaos. So there seems to be a tension in your work between structure and unpredictable. So what does the relationship between order and chaos mean to you in your practice?
Actually, I never consider them while I work on my project, but in my work, they always exist together. As I said, I often set up structures like systems, rhythms, or constraints, but within those, there's always unpredictability because materials behave differently, and also little machines, they don't repeat perfectly. So small variations accumulate, right? So I'm quite interested in the moments where control and loss of control, they coexist.
From the acoustics of Stone Age caves to the mechanical breathing of a miniature greenhouse, sound is deeply connected to the spaces we inhabit and the materials we touch. It reminds us that even the most invisible frequencies can possess a powerful physical presence and meaning. You can experience Robert Lippock's performance Material on the 12th of June and encounter Hear Young Sin's Housewarming No. 2 live on the 30th of May during our festival. You have been listening to the Blaues Rauschen podcast. A big thank you to our guests Robert Lippock and Hear Young Sin, as well as to Tim Löde and Veronika Batzdorfer for their editorial contribution. Stay curious and see you at the festival. Blaues Rauschen.